With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're at the Pleasant Street Tea Company once again with Heather Atwood of the MidPod and other ventures as well. Heather, it's been a couple of weeks now since we've got together, and what's being posted at MidPod? What are you guys promoting?
Well, we're promoting this week an interview with a gentleman named Jacob Heilbrunn. And he's a great interview. He can tell you all about Congress and foreign policy and where this White House is going with foreign policy and what Congress is sort of thinking about this country's position in the world. Mm-hmm. So that's a great interview.
And where was that? Where did you see him?
We saw him in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
That was the weekend that I also went to see the exhibit that my friend Eliza Rathbone curated, mm-hmm. and we talked about that a couple weeks
yes.
ago, okay? So, anyway, so that was in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Christmas happened, New Year's happened, and then Nisi and I went to Florida's 18th Congressional District.
Mm-hmm.
We were there the week of the bomb cyclone, so it was a good week for us to be away. We felt a little guilty leaving our families here to deal with this, but we did. And Florida's 18th District has one feature, one problem, that has been recognized internationally. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting. It is something called toxic blue-green algae.
Mm-hmm.
And National Geographic has done a story about this. The New York Times has done a story about this. What happens is the Florida's 18th District is on the eastern coast of Florida between Palm Beach County and St. Lucie County. So it runs along the coastline there, just north of Mar-a-Lago, okay, and then go up, right? So west of that is a big lake called Lake Okeechobee. And the Army Corps of Engineers has replumbed that lake so that when they're afraid it's going to flood, they send the waters east and west. It goes through one river west and empties into the Gulf of Mexico, and it goes into one river east, the St. Lucie River, and empties into the Atlantic Ocean. So that's when they're afraid this lake is going to overflow, right? And when they do that, when they send these discharges into each of these rivers, they are sending polluted water, and they're sending polluted water into the St. Lucie River and estuary. And consequently, there are these blooms of something called toxic blue-green algae. It is disgusting. It's like 6 inches thick. In these estuaries, it completely mats the estuary. So boats can't move because, you know, their engines get all clogged. It stinks. It smells like ammonia. And it's toxic. They believe it causes neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. You want to mention that in Florida? You know, that is not something people want to be talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've had to close beaches. They had two really bad blooms in 2013 and 2016. They call it the mean green 2016. It is an incredible environmental disaster. So that is probably the biggest issue that Congress, these people running for office, will have to address in this race. So, anyway, that was it was interesting. We also met some great farmers down there, some young farmers. They're dealing with climate change. What else did we do? We had a beautiful potluck dinner in some place called, or it was a lunch, some place called the House of Refuge. This little cottage, it was an old life-saving museum that sat right on the ocean. And we had some really interesting conversations there about citizenship. So that story will drop in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And with the congressional race now ramping up all over the media, what's next for you guys?
So next week, we're not so lucky with weather. We had a really nice week in Florida, but next week we go to Pennsylvania 18. And it's going to be cold and maybe even snowy there. Pennsylvania 18 is in the far southwest corner of Pennsylvania. Donald Trump visited there yesterday because the Republicans are very worried. Southwest Pennsylvania, right? This is coal country, steel country, and opioid crisis country. This is not a vital part of the state, and it went for Trump, this district, by 20 points in the general election. Okay, they're they had a little mishap with their congressperson, Tim Murphy. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but Tim Murphy was very much a right-to-life congressperson. He was very much opposed to abortion and was very vocal about that. You know, I'm a family man, all that. And yet his mistress came out to the press and said that he had actually encouraged her to have an abortion when she thought she was pregnant. So that was the end of his career. And now we have a special election coming up to replace that seat, March 13th. The special election is March 13th. And the Republicans have a candidate, Richard Saccone, and the Democrats have a candidate, Connor Lamb. So this district went for Trump by 20 points, but it's looking very good for Connor Lamb right now. That's now, stunning.
I have to ask you now, the mid-pod obviously leans to the left.
We do.
Will you... Will you be interviewing any of the Republican candidates if they agree to it?
Absolutely. We have tried with every single Republican candidate. Mm-hmm. Now, there is... It's not just that, you know, they don't like us. It isn't. They are active congresspeople, and most of them, most of the incumbents. Rick Saccone is not, but and we're trying to get an interview with him. But mm-hmm. we're not CNN. They're busy people, and they really don't have the time to spend with... these two moms who are podcasting, right? So,
but their people do.
They do, and their people will not talk to us. Mm-hmm. And we've gone into their offices. You know, we've asked for a conversation, and their people will not talk to us. So that is true. We've asked every single one very politely, but we've gotten nowhere. So, so you know, we can't help but have a bias program in some ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh no, I get that. I understand that. All right, let's turn to a more pleasant topic. We have been discussing, the last year or so, top 50 dishes and foods and so on, and we're starting another top 50. We started a couple of weeks ago with 50 and 49, mm-hmm. And one of them I remember was pretty good. I can't
Your
remember.
Your favorite, tater tots.
Tater tots, that's right, tater tots. All right, and so this week we have 47 and 46?
Yeah, so last week we had tater tots.
Wait, 59, 49, 48 and 47. Yeah.
Right. So we at 50 and 49 were tater tots and key lime pie.
Key lime pie, that's right.
Right.
Okay, yep.
And this week we have 48 and 47, right?
That's and we should, I didn't get that interview up there, so it was 50 was tater tots and 49 was key lime pie. And there was a good story out of Florida, was it? Where was that?
Yeah, the key lime pie story was really great. It was, key lime pie was born in Florida, and they think it was born actually in the Keys. And the sponge fishermen there would apparently take this concoction on their boats, and it would be condensed milk, because, of course, they had no fresh milk because it's so hot down there. Condensed milk and limes and eggs. And they would make this, I don't know, pudding-like thing. It was not cooked because they couldn't cook on their boats. And some very famous person's chef... took this sponge fisherman recipe and turned it into a pie.
Okay.
So that's a good story, right?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, and after you explain that, I even understand what it is, so that's good. Okay, so here we go.
All right, so we have 48 is San Francisco sourdough bread.
Okay.
That's a good one, right? I say good. Will Rick Moore eat it? Well, now, you've had plenty of sandwich with sourdough bread, but you prefer white, right? Straight white?
No, let me walk away.
He's trying to say yes, but no, he really doesn't want. You're thinking you've never tasted it. That's what you're thinking. Okay, let's move on.
My wife likes it. She loves sourdough bread.
Oh, good. Yeah, it has a little tang to it, so, you know, it can...
Isn't it kind of bitter? I think I've had some. Isn't it kind of bitter tasting?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting that you say that, because most people would just say tang, but that you say bitter, you must have really sensitive taste buds. I think that's part of your problem.
I don't have no stinking problem.
Right, well, no, you don't. But that's. Okay. But if you think that taste is bitter, mm-hmm. I think that you must have be really, really tuned in to flavors like that.
All right.
Yeah.
So is there a story behind sour bread, though?
I did not look up the story behind sourdough bread because a lot of people are familiar with it. It is
just the word sour, you know.
I know that you pause right there, but mm-hmm. a lot of us who like those flavors okay. really like it. So it's different than a yeasted bread because it uses a starter, and the starter is alive, and you sort of keep it going. And that starter.
What do you mean the starter is alive?
It's a wild yeast. So it, yeah. And so you keep it going, like, on your kitchen counter, or you can keep it in your refrigerator, too. And every time you make the bread, you add a little bit of that wild yeast mixture, and it's the action of that yeast that makes the bread rise. But it also gives it that flavor that you call bitter. They call sour. I don't even think it's sour. I call tangy. Okay. So it's a specific taste. It also has a specific rise that makes certain holes. It characteristically has all those little holes in it. And that's a carbon dioxide. You know, it rises with carbon dioxide.
So I'm getting the idea for a science fiction short story here.
the takeover of the starter. The sourdough starter goes crazy. And takes over Manhattan. Right. So, you see, I love these two. I love 48 and 47. These are my kinds of foods. I love sourdough bread, and 47 is Cobb salad. That doesn't mean anything to you? You don't eat salads.
Cobb salad?
You don't know what a Cobb salad is. Okay, do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do. I'm just seeing if you do.
Okay, Cobb salad probably emerged from, in my psyche, like in the early 1980s. So it's a salad with classically avocado, bacon, and corn. So, and it can have all kinds of other things, but...
And people know what this is.
You know, anyone who's been to Panera knows what a Cobb salad is, okay?
Excuse me, this is where we have our business meetings. And no, they have blueberry muffins and they have pumpkin muffins. Oh, and we're Pleasant Street. Yeah, see if it's... Is it C-O-B-B?
C-O-B-B, yeah. Okay. We don't see a Cobb salad on the menu here at Pleasant Street. Okay, they're gonna, if they're listening, they got to put it up there. But Panera has one. Okay, Panera, they all have a Cobb salad. But there's a history to Cobb salad, and the history dates long before the early 1980s when I was aware of it. It dates back to 1937 Hollywood, and there was a chef named Bob Cobb in Hollywood. He worked at the Brown Derby, and I'm looking at my notes here. I have to write all this down.
Yeah.
Sid Grossman, who owned... No, Grauman, who owned the Grauman Chinese Theater, was coming for dinner, and Bob Cobb needed to come up with something special for him to eat, and he scrounged in the refrigerator. So he was in California, so he had avocados, and I guess he had extra bacon and fresh corn on the cob, or fresh corn cut off the cob. Yeah. So that's the origin of Cobb salad.
I know there are many Italian moms on Cape Ann who have stories that are similar, and they do something. They put together a meal out of what's left over in their refrigerator, and they call it their Italian specialty. So I get that. That makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Yep. I actually do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I think there's some great meals made with those ingredients.
You just need a publicist to get a name on it.
I need the Atwood salad, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, right? I could do that. I have a lot of good salads.
Okay. Well, I think that takes care of it.
Yeah, that's good for me today.
Okay. That is Heather Atwood of the Mid Pod, and this is more stuff online from the Pleasant Street Tea Company.